Radio Prague News.
Border police in North Bohemia have detained another lorry carrying communal waste from Germany. North Bohemian ski resorts have experienced traffic jams, and Health Minister David Rath has called on the pharmaceutical wholesaler Pharmos to submit evidence proving alleged corruption practices at the Health Ministry. Border police in North Bohemia turned back a lorry carrying a load of communal waste from Germany in the early hours of Saturday. The driver claimed he only crossed the border to buy diesel. The Czech Environment Inspection Authority estimates some 15,000 tons of rubbish have been imported from Germany in recent months and dumped illegally in the Czech Republic. Roads around the northern town of Liberec were blocked on Saturday morning as hundreds of tourists were leaving the Jezerské Mountains and new holidaymakers were arriving at the ski resorts. Local hotel managers say the past week was one of the busiest in the season as children from the Czech Republic as well as some neighboring countries had come to spend their school break in the mountains. Health Minister David Rath has called on the pharmaceutical wholesaler Pharmos to submit evidence proving alleged corruption practices at the Health Ministry. Otherwise, the Ministry will take legal action against it. Pharmos initially agreed to resume supplies of medicines to three indebted teaching hospitals after it had stopped deliveries along with three other distributors. The company has now finally decided to end supplies because of alleged corruption at the Ministry. A few dozen far-right activists staged a protest against drugs, a growing influence of communism and what they called foreign crime in the town of Bruntál in North Moravia on Saturday afternoon. Some 20 left-wing activists also arrived in the town, but police managed to keep the two groups apart. Former Czech President Václav Havel opposes plans to send a giant neon heart, which temporarily adorned Prague Castle, to the Afghan capital Kabul, warning that it might cause religious offence, the newspaper Mladá Fronta Dnes reported on Saturday. The heart, by artist Jiří David, became a highly visible landmark in the Czech capital at the end of Mr. Havel's last term in 2002. The former president's secretary, Jakub Hladík, told the paper that there were indications that the heart could be viewed as a religious symbol and cause conflict. The heart had been bought by the World Development Organization, which came up with the idea of displaying it in Kabul. And finally, the weather. A cold front is expected to bring nighttime temperatures down to minus 11 to minus 15 degrees Celsius. Skies are expected to remain partly cloudy in the next couple of days, with a chance of snow in higher altitudes. Daytime temperatures should remain just below freezing. I'm Pavla Horáková, and that's the end of the news.
Tuned to Radio Prague, and I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in the programme, the Czechs' idea of a perfect Sunday meal, and it is not pork, sauerkraut and dumplings. Learning Czech the easy way with Pavla Horáková. Today's lesson is called Let Your Knowledge Blossom, and it'll teach you the names of flowers, essential if you want to go courting here in the Czech Republic. And finally, you'll be able to meet a woman with a nose for fine wine, a wine taster in Rob Cameron's One-on-One. Lots of entertainment coming up. Don't go away. First, magazine with yours truly. Child to be put into a baby box installed last June at a Prague clinic to help protect unwanted babies from being abandoned in the cold or murdered in secret is little Sonia. She was born 4 weeks ago, together with her twin, to a single mother who decided she couldn't handle the financial burden of two babies. Sonia was the less lucky. The twin the mother picked to give away. Unaware of the procedure, the mother attached her birth certificate to Sonia's blanket. On the one hand, this could complicate her adoption. On the other, Sonia now stands a chance of going home to her mother and twin sister. Her plight has evoked a wave of solidarity, and people have been calling with offers of help, saying they are ready to help support the mother financially if she takes Sonia back and keeps the twin sisters together.
The very
very last of the Tatra 700 limousines made in the Goptivnice car plant, which was used by the former Prime Minister Miloš Zeman, is not going to end up on the scrap heap. Several private collectors have made a bid for it, but the final decision is it will grace the collection of the Technical Museum in Prague as the only one of its kind there. The former Prime Minister himself attended the presentation ceremony to see that his old limo was well housed and happy. Young people in Prague gathered at the Old Town Square last week to set a new world record in the bizarre discipline of popping balloons. The aim was to break a record set by Hong Kong students the previous year. And that record was 2,477 balloons popped within 10 seconds at a football stadium. Well, it was tough going, but they did it, popping 3,158 balloons in 10 seconds. Dog owners in Prague are gradually accepting the fact that their pet must have a chip or tattoo with the respective information that would help to locate its owners. Some 60,000 dogs in the Czech capital now meet this requirement. 85,000 dogs are officially registered in Prague, but the police believe their number to be much, much higher. How do you think Czechs rate in terms of foreign language skills? According to the results of a special Eurobarometer study, we are below the European average, 16th place on the ladder. 61% of Czechs speak at least one foreign language. 29% take pride in speaking two foreign languages more or less fluently, while only 10% of Czechs are able to put three foreign languages on their CV. So, if you visit this country, how do you best make yourself understood? If you guessed English, then guess again. It's actually German which tops the list. You should find that 28% of those who speak a foreign language will speak German. 24% speak English, 21% speak Russian, and a mere 4% speak French. So, can this average result, or below average result actually, be attributed to four decades of closed borders? One might be inclined to think so, but in that case, why do Slovaks appear to excel at foreign languages? Slovaks, with whom Czechs spent close to 73 years in a common state, and who developed in exactly the same conditions until the Czechoslovak Federation broke up in 1993. According to the Eurobarometer study, a full 97% of Slovaks speak at least one foreign language. This discrepancy is unfortunately not due to the Slovaks' exceptional language skills. The foreign language they all put down was Czech. Funnily enough, no Czech even thought to enter Slovak, which Czechs apparently still do not consider Slovak to be a foreign language. Well, either they need to change their attitude or start learning fast. The long-term EU objective is for all EU citizens to speak at least two foreign languages in addition to their mother tongue. Carnivals are taking place across the Czech Republic this weekend, marking the beginning of Lent, the 40-day period of fasting and soul-searching that precedes Easter. Now, although you wouldn't find many Czechs who actually fast or engage in soul-searching, they wouldn't miss an opportunity to eat, drink and make merry. Towns and villages, as well as individual Prague districts, organise carnival processions and parties out in the open, with live bands, pork feasts and barrels of beer and plum brandy to help keep people warm. Would you venture a guess as to what the Czechs' favourite meal is? An opinion poll conducted recently showed that most Czechs' idea of a perfect Sunday lunch would be ham rolls with horseradish cream, for starters, followed by beef broth. The main dish would be schnitzel, or pork chop, fried in breadcrumbs, with potatoes and beer. And for dessert, a piece of rich cake and coffee. All in all, a meal amounting to some 5,000 kilojoules. But to burn those calories, you'd need to shovel earth for 3 hours or watch television for 13. But no prizes for guessing which of the two most Czechs go for. Miroslav Jakeš, one of the most experienced Czech polar explorers, is setting off on another polar expedition. He wants to visit the settlement of Eskimos who live furthest up north in Sierpaluk, which is some 1,200 kilometers from the North Pole itself. From there, he will head for the North Pole, visiting the Russian polar station Barneo on the way. Although he has been to the North Pole 5 times, Jakeš says this time it will be different because he is going at a time when the polar nights are long and the day lasts for just a few hours. He'll be moving in minus 40 degree temperatures through territory with a high incidence of polar bears. As usual, his sled will be packed with essentials. But there's one thing that, although not strictly an essential, he never leaves behind. His guitar. It helps him survive, and he says it's become something of a trademark. For the Eskimos, I'm the man with a guitar who turns up now and then, Jakeš says. A man addicted to the North Pole, he must have been very happy in the Czech Republic this winter with temperatures reaching minus 20 degrees Celsius, but spring is just round the corner, so of course he's off again. Now, talking of spring, how about a flower lesson with Pavla Horáková?
Šel zahradník do zahrady s motykou, vykopal tam rozmarínu velikou, velikou. Nebyla to rozmarína, byl to křen, vyhoď ho zahradníčku oknem ven, oknem ven.
Welcome to Radio Prague's Czech teaching program, exploring idioms about farm crops and domestic plants. Today's is the last episode, and as of next week, we'll be looking at wild flora. In today's lesson, we focus on garden flowers and pot plants. A flower in Czech is
květina.
It is related to the word
kvést,
to blossom. In metaphorical use, it also means to thrive, to prosper. If you say about someone, especially a girl, that she is
skleníková květinka,
a hothouse plant, it means that she's delicate and touchy. On the other hand,
děvče jako karafiát.
A girl like a carnation is a healthy, rosy-cheeked young thing.
Být jako růžička.
To be like a rose means to be pretty, healthy and flushed. If somebody blushes too much in an embarrassing situation, we can say
zrudl jako pivoňka.
He turned red like a peony. Or, to use an English idiom, he became red as a beetroot. We can also say a person's face is as red as a poppy.
Rudý jako mák.
Beautiful, long and blonde hair can be compared to flax.
Vlasy jako len.
Flaxen hair. The white lily is a symbol of innocence in many cultures around the world. The Czechs too say
nevinný jako lilie.
As innocent as a lily. The lily is also a delicate flower which wanes quickly.
Zvadnout jako lilie.
Is to wilt like a lily. The English language uses the expression a bed of roses, meaning a pleasant or easy situation. The idiom was coined by the 16th century poet Christopher Marlowe in his poem The Passionate Shepherd to His Love. I don't know how and when the expression got into Czech and whether it was borrowed from English at all. Anyway, the Czech idiom goes
mít na růžích ustláno,
to have a bed made of roses. Back to the generic word
květina.
There is a saying in Czech,
ženu ani květinou neuhodíš.
You must not hit a woman, even with a flower. And finally, Czech has a similar idiom to the gloomy English expression to push up daisies. The Czech saying goes
čuchat kytky ze spoda,
to smell at flowers from underneath, meaning to be dead and buried. And on that murky note, we'd better end today's lesson. We'll be back next week with a brand new short series on idioms about wild plants. Until then,
naschledanou!
Pavla Horáková there, giving you her weekly Czech lesson, and she was helped out by Zuzana Durčíková. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, and it's now time for our interview of the week, one that Rob Cameron was particularly looking forward to doing, meeting a wine taster.
My guest on this week's one-on-one is Helena Baker, one of the Czech Republic's leading experts on wine. Helena has visited wine regions across Europe and also the United States and South Africa. She's taken part in dozens of international wine tasting competitions, and in 2001 she co-founded a female circle of wine lovers called Ladies of Wine. She's also the author of several guides to wine available in Czech and English. I recently met her in a wine cellar at the launch of her new guide to wine and winemaking in the Czech Republic and asked her when she first became interested in wine.
I think there came a time when I realized that wine was also for pleasure, not for drinking, and I decided I was going to learn something about the contents of a bottle rather just emptying it.
Now, wine and wine tasting is traditionally something of a man's world. What's it like being a woman in the traditionally male world of wine?
I don't think it's only for men. There are increasingly now more women amongst the tasters, because I taste at wine competitions around the world. And also, it is said that women have better nose than men.
Wine tasting has also been described, by some people at least, as a rather pretentious way to spend one's time. Can you really tell the difference between wines beyond red, white, dry, sweet, good, bad?
Yes, of course. I can just show you here two samples which are quite characteristic.
Right, so we've got some wines in front of us. What do we have here?
The first sample is a great variety called Sauvignon Blanc. In the Czech Republic, they just call it Sauvignon. It's a white grape variety, originally comes from Bordeaux. And its characteristic is when the wine is young, it is reminiscent of nettles, freshly mown grass, gooseberries, even cat's pee on a gooseberry bush, some say. When it's mature, it could remind us of ripe peaches.
So talk me through the actual tasting. What do you do first when you taste a wine?
Well, first of all, you look at the wine. So you judge what it's called appearance. So you have the clarity and the color and any other things you can see in the glass, like in English it's called legs. In French they call them cuisses. You can see little bubbles. You know, in white wine, which is young, it will be straw colour, maybe with greenish tinges. And if the white wine is mature, it could be deeper and darker into, it can be amber, even brown, tawny, or sometimes even black, like a Spanish fortified wine made from Pedro Ximenez, a great variety.
So how would you describe this wine we have in front of us?
Well, I would say it's pale straw in appearance. On the nose, the second characteristic of wine we examine is its smell or nose, where, as I said, in this great variety, it is gooseberry-ish, a little grassy, but also some sort of yellow fruit. I was told this was a vintage 2004, so there is a certain maturity on it, so we can detect the white or yellow fruit aroma on it.
The Czechs, of course, are a nation of beer drinkers. Do you think that's beginning to change now?
I think so, because you can't drink beer with everything, and certainly in all those quantities, how they used to here. So I think wine is now becoming the drink to enjoy yourself with.
Not seen as too elitist?
No, I don't think so. I think in this country there are areas which have traditionally been wine regions. Although, if you go to Moravia and you end up in a Moravian wine cellar, and when the tasting is finished, the majority of the winemakers end up in a local pub having a pint.
Something of an irony there.
They say, it's not really, but they say, because the wine, and especially local wines, are quite refreshing and they have crisp acidity, to have a pint of Pilsner balances it out, because Pilsner Urquell is not acidic, you know, it sort of balances the pH.
Fascinating. Now, what about Czech wines? My French friends usually turn their noses up when they're given a glass of Miller Turgau or other Czech wines. Are they being snobbish, or does Czech wine really belong to the second division of the World League of Wines?
I have a friend in London who came to Prague, and everybody told her, you know, you're going to Prague, don't drink wine, drink beer. But she was pleasantly surprised when she came and I took her to places where she could drink decent wine.
You're here to promote your new book, The New Guide to Wine and Winemaking in the Czech Republic, 2006. Where should people go for the best wine in the Czech Republic?
I think they should go to wine bars or places called vinotecas, definitely, because they have the best selection of wines. And ordinary pubs and restaurants will probably have a litre bottle with a plastic cork on it, and this is a sign you should drink beer and not wine.
And within the Czech Republic, where are the best areas for wines?
I think they are altogether about 500 hectares around Prague, and the rest, I think at 2005 count, it was 18,000 hectares on the Slovak-Austrian borders. In Moravia, obviously, the climate is generally warmer, and the grape varieties are similar to those grown in neighbouring Austria, like Grüneveltliner, Welschriesling, which can ripen to magnificent levels of sugar, grape sugar, and can produce wines of higher attributes, maybe the equivalent of the German Bärenauslese or Trockenbärenauslese even. Recently, the Moravian winemakers started making straw wine and ice wine, which is quite popular and becoming quite known even outside the borders.
One tip for your all-time absolute favourite Czech wine. Put you on the spot now.
I have two favourites at the moment. It's a winery called Springer, or his brother Stapleton Springer. And another one is called Dobrá Vinice, where the winemakers make wines in the style of his friend from Slovenia, who is quite famous even abroad. And the Springer brothers, they make wines reminiscent to wines of Burgundy, white and reds. And their father actually looks after the vineyards, and he tends to it every day. You know, the vineyard is actually his baby, and if you see the grapes and, you know, how healthy and ripe they are, they have to make very good wine, because it is a saying, you can't make good wine from poor grapes.
Right, that's a fine note on which to end. Helena Baker, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
That edition of One on One has brought us to the end of today's programme. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 8h30, 8h57. Europe, 9860, 11600. 17h30, 17h57. Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 15710. 19h30, 19h57. Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 9430, 23h, 23h27. Amérique du Nord, 5930, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz.